And that was awesome. Those guys did an awesome job. I'm excited to have you this morning. And we're actually the last message in our Christmas series, White Christmas. But before I get into that, let me just say welcome, number one. And if you are a guest here, thank you for coming. We're glad that you're here. Our heart is to be a place where you can come and know that you're loved, and you're loved by God, and you're loved by us. If you'd love to connect, and we'd love to connect with you to at least have that opportunity, you can fill out a connection card that's in the seat back in front of you. And if you turn that in at the end of service, the offering, we'll be sure to send you something really cool in the mail. It's actually really, really good. Also, if you have any prayer requests, we have a prayer team that every day is praying over our cards. We're making sure that we do our very best to be good stewards of the prayer requests that people give us, because we love praying for people, and here's why. Because God actually hears our prayers, and he answers prayers. And so you can also write on there where you have a celebration for a prayer that was answered. So do us a favor, fill that out. We'd love to pray for you, connect with you. And honestly, it's just great having y'all. I've got a couple other things. And the first one is this. Starting the first, and I'm really excited because that's coming up fast. How quickly is that coming up? Is that really, is it just me, or does it seem like we should have more of 2016? We should have a lot. It seems like we should have a lot more of 2016. I don't know if too many people are excited about having more of 2016. Are y'all ready for 2017? Feels odd even to say it, but yes, it's right around the corner. So as a church, we're doing two things. The first is this. We're having 21 days of prayer and fasting. The church will be open, and it's starting January 1st. The church will be open every day from 6 a.m. until 7 a.m. so you can come into the sanctuary, you can pray. Also from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. so that you can come and pray. And my heart is that you are serious about praying. Why is that? Why is the pastor serious about praying? Because God hears our prayers. Let me just say, God's not dead. He's alive and well. He hears our prayers. And my heart is that for 2017, that we can recognize that God has some big things in store for us if we trust him. And that's a big if, because we have to get to the place where we can clearly hear God's voice. We can answer that call when he speaks to us, and we can step out in faith. And let me just say, nothing great in a church will ever happen outside of us praying together. And so that's my heart and my prayer for you. And if you're wondering about the fasting, it doesn't mean that you have to give up food for 21 days. You can if you want. You will be really skinny at the end of it. Fasting is really, I'm just going to sum it up as saying, it's denying our flesh what it wants so that our spirit can grow stronger. And that may be, for some of you, giving up social media. It may be giving up a specific food. There's actually a fasting guide on our website that you can check out. It's pretty comprehensive and thorough if you're interested in that. But let me just encourage you to be a part of prayer and fasting. And we're specifically praying for people. So I want you, in your praying, say, Lord, who are you putting in my heart to be a blessing to? The second thing I want to talk to you about is our Restart series that starts the week after that. And it's restarting in six areas of our life. And I'm really excited with that. The first message is restarting our relationship with God, a restart in our walk with God. And I think 2017, the beginning of that, January is always a good time for that. There's also groups that are going to follow along with each of the messages, each of the sermon series. So if you'd like to get into a group, you can, on the screen above me, you can text restart to the number that's up there. Also, if you're interested in hosting a group, which has been easier than it ever has been, in part because it's following the messages. And also, there's going to be a video introduction by me for each of the six series, each of the six groups that you would do. And it also has a book that we've printed up that goes right along with the sermon series. So we'd love to have you as a part of that. And last but not least, if you're junior high, Velocity, y'all's big Velocity night is January 4th at 6:30. You don't want to miss it. We're turning the theater room, which was our old sanctuary, into a laser tag arena. It's going to be awesome. Wow, that was a lot. Y'all ready to start this morning? Whew. Children's department is rolling, by the way, today, and they told me you better be at least an hour today. I don't know if I can speak for an hour, but we may go for an hour, because they are really doing some really cool stuff with your kids. And if you haven't seen that, you ought to go back there and check it out. It's pretty awesome. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I just pray that we can hear from you. Lord, I just pray that we don't just hear a message, but we sense you stirring inside of us. And Lord, that we answer as you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you guys love Christmas time. I'm like loving it more and more. I'll just be honest. I used to be kind of a Grinch about Christmas music and Christmas lights and all that stuff. Nobody here's probably not at a Christmas Eve service going to raise your hand and say, yeah, I kind of get that. I kind of hate Christmas music, and I kind of been a Grinch about, and I have in the past. I'm just going to be honest. I have. I've hated Christmas music and lights, and I don't know why. I just did it. Nobody else is like that, I'm sure, but I was. But I found myself the last few years, really enjoying Christmas music, and I've got Apple Music, which is wonderful. So now I can put it on in my vehicle, and I've been listening to Christmas music by myself. Anybody else? Nobody else around, but you're listening to Christmas music. Come on. Awesome. That's great. Any Christmas light lookers? Anybody drives around going, look at Christmas lights? My kids have been, I know, I'm sorry. My kids have been begging me. Nicholas has given me the stink eye right there. He's been begging me, when are we going to go look at Christmas lights? When are we going to go look at Christmas lights? And maybe we can go tonight. Maybe. Yes, we can. Okay, mom says yes. I mean, I make the rules, but yeah, mom says yes. What are y'all laughing at? Y'all know the truth? Come on. Pastor here. As a kid, I do remember going, we'd go to Lafayette every year and we'd look at Christmas lights. We'd drive through West Bayou Parkway and they had some amazing lights. And the reality is that most of us are fascinated by light. If you've ever been to a concert or an event where they have the lasers, isn't that neat stuff? It's really cool. Lights are fascinating, but here's the reality. Without light, we would die. I was thinking about that this week. It's truth, but when I thought of it and wrote it out, I was like, we need light to survive. It's like, well, yeah, you don't even think about that very often, do you? But the fact is that if the whole world went dark, we'd all die. We are not designed to live in darkness. We are designed to live in the light. We need it. The funny thing about Christmas is that it tends to illuminate things in our life, both good and bad. The good is that it can be a time where we can see the value of love. We can see the value of family. We can see the value in South Louisiana of food, right? How many of you are already stuffed and Christmas isn't even here? Rustin made some of his, he said, every now and then I make some bread, and I make some friendship bread, and I brought some this morning. I had some, it was really good. And then I've had the cookies last night from Grandma, and I've had, anybody else with me on that? The food is a big part of it. It's easy to look at Christmas as something that illuminates the good things, but the reality is that oftentimes Christmas will illuminate things that are pretty painful. Loss. Sorrow. Pretty easy to realize the difficult things in life because darkness has touched us in some form or fashion. But the great thing about Christmas is that Jesus came, and that's what we're celebrating. He came as the light of the world. And that theme is found all throughout Scripture, light and dark, light and dark. In fact, it shows up at the very beginning of the Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, here's what it says. It says, then God said, let there be light. Let there be light. The very beginning, what was the first thing that we see God speaking? He's speaking, let there be light. It's easy to walk in the darkness, guys. We all know that. It is easy to stay in hidden areas in our life, isn't it? Come on. We don't want anybody to see the loss. We don't want anybody to see the pain. We don't want anybody to see what's really going on underneath the surface. And the fact is that Jesus came so that we can take those areas and bring them into his light, and he can bring healing and wholeness. Listen, we live in a broken world. The curse of sin is broken over those who choose for it to be, and we have to choose to step into the light, but God's the one who created it. We see in Genesis 1:3, it was created in a perfect world, though. There was no sin. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was the first act that we see him speaking into creation, let there be light. And my prayer for us is that we recognize that Jesus is the light of the world. Great biblical characters who, even though they were dedicated to God, at least we know some of them, still had times where they needed the light shined into their life. Great example, Mary. She had an angel show up and tell her what was going on because she was in the dark about what God was doing in her life. Let me just remind you that God's light isn't just the purification of sin. It gives us direction, because if you've ever tried to find your way in the dark, that can be painful, can it? You ever kick something in the dark? I hate that. It's like the pain gets amplified when it's dark because you don't know what you kicked. Am I bleeding? That's usually the first thing that comes into my mind. Am I bleeding? And if so, is it on the carpet? Because now we don't have carpet. My wife said no carpet in the house, but we had carpet and it was white. So if you kicked something and you bled, let me just tell you, then you might get in trouble. But I'm thinking, man, it's the truth. Don't you bleed on that carpet. Some of y'all had mamas like that. Don't you bleed on that sofa. You bleed on that sofa, I'm going to make you bleed. Without light, it's very easy to stumble. We need light not just to live, we also need it for direction. Mary needed the light, and it was in the form of an angelic messenger sent by God to show her the way of what God was doing and what he had for her. For the shepherds who were pulling an all-nighter out in the field, watching their sheep, and all of a sudden the heaven opens up and these angels show up, praising God and declaring that the Messiah was born. They had to be totally freaked out, but they were in the dark that anything good was going to happen to them that night, and they didn't realize that they would become the first to see the Messiah for who he was. Pretty cool. The wise men, what were they guided by? They were guided by a light in the night to bring them to who they knew from Scripture would be the Savior of the world, the Messiah. That same light exists today. That is the point of Christmas. In fact, Jesus says in John 1, 4 and 5, and let me just say this contrasts so perfectly, it's so perfect with Genesis 1. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Speaking of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The life, Jesus, he's the light of men. It's one thing to think that we know our way and know ourselves, and it is another to step into the light of God and allow him to illuminate our heart, our soul, our mind, and our path. Jesus came so that we could walk in the light. Because in the fall of creation, when sin entered, there was a darkness in the heart of man that every person born was cursed with. There was an area of darkness in their life. But Jesus showed up to be the light, to rid us from that curse, that stain that keeps us from him. And here's the thing, it keeps us from knowing why we're here, from our purpose. It keeps us from the calling that everyone has. So many times people look at me as a pastor and go, oh, well, you're just called to that. Here's the reality. We are all called to a purpose. That is why we are here. There is a purpose. Do you know yours? And if you don't know yours and you're trying to find it in a relationship, if you're trying to find it in a vocation, in a career, in adventure, in a hobby, those aren't bad things. But if you don't know your purpose, you're going to wander in darkness. Yeah, I've got a calling. It's to be a pastor. It's to speak the truth that God knows people. He knows them. He loves them. He has a purpose and a plan. Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I want you to have the light of life. That's my passion. That's my calling. That's what God's put inside of me to let you know that Jesus wasn't just a little baby that was born and now we're going to eat some pie. Let's open some gifts underneath the tree. None of those things are bad, but the point of Christmas is not about the food. I love the food, it's great. It's not about the family, that's wonderful. It's not about the presents. Who doesn't love presents? The best, they fold, they don't jingle. Come on, you know what I'm saying? That's great, those are all good, but the point of Christmas isn't that. The point of Christmas is that Jesus came as the light of the world to illuminate dark hearts and souls. That's why we celebrate. And my prayer for you today is that you can see the light. I want you to see the light, that God has a path for you. God has a plan for you. God knows you. It's that simple. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus brings light to our world. The theme verse for this series has been Revelation 21:5. It says, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. All things new. What is the significance of Jesus being born as the Savior of the world? He brings a new day to each of us. And there's a moment in our life when we say, God, I recognize who you are. I can sense that you're working inside of me. Like, I may not be able to explain it or understand it, but I can sense it. And I think I'm hearing you speak something to me. And this is what God begins to speak to us. Let there be light. There's something more. There's something more than the daily grind. There's something more than just achievement through what I can do. There is significance through purpose, not through simply acting and doing things. Behold, I make all things new. There's such a purity in walking in the life and living each day from a sense of innocence and wonder at the foot of the cross and saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? It is an adventure. It's a hard one to stay on if we're honest, because the fact is, even though you may have had that moment where those questions swirled and you said, God, I hear you, I sense you speaking, and you responded and you said, God, I want to know who you are, and I hear your voice, I hear your call, and so I lay everything else down and I follow you. You may have done that, but the reality is that it is easy to go back and not walk away from God, but forget that each day is a new day, and that each day we can choose whether or not we're going to walk in the light and the path that God has for us. That's why Jesus said, by the way, that if we're walking his path, it's very narrow, but the path to destruction is very wide, and there are a lot of people on it. Well, that seems very exclusive. It's not about exclusivity. It's about us choosing to walk in the dark, because it is easy to live in, it's choosing to walk in the light, because it's easy to walk in the dark, isn't it? So it is every day. We celebrate Christmas, not just one time a year. I mean, I don't expect you to have like a Christmas tree up and lights and festive music on all year round, but that we can celebrate the truth that there is a path, there is a purpose, there is a light that we follow. Every day is a new day. Jesus speaks in Revelation of all places, behold, I'm making all things new. That's not just the terrible things that we want to forget. It's also the moment that we're in, maybe coming out of a great moment and season. But he's speaking to us saying, I'm making all things new right now. We have to choose whether we are going to walk in that or not. What keeps us from walking in that? Here's what keeps us. Shame. Unforgiveness, bitterness, that'll keep us from walking the path that God has for us, because in our heart we blame other people and ultimately we blame God for the hand that we've been dealt or the things that we've done. Here's the other reason that people won't walk in the light is because the season has been so good, and maybe it's one that's been following Christ and walking in the light. The season has been so good, they don't know how to handle the success, and they somehow think in this root of pride that it was because of what they did and where they were and who they were, and they unintentionally walk away. I think we see keys in Genesis of how we allow God to make everything new right now. So I just want to answer the question. Three simple things. We'll go through this very quickly. How does God make all things new? Let's look at Genesis 1, 1 through 3 again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. How does God make all things new? Here's how I really believe. Number one, he moves. What does that mean? Like God moves. It's because it says in Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Would anybody like to explain that? Because let's just be honest, you can come up with your best idea of what that means, but even the greatest theologians struggle with exactly what it means that the Spirit of God was, what does it say? Moving over the surface of the waters. Let's just be honest. That can be a little like, what? What does that mean? Can I just say, I think it's a great example of how God moves in an individual's life. We may not be able to clearly articulate exactly what's happening inside of us, but when there's a spiritual move in our life, when we can sense God doing things, moving inside of us, we may not be able to say exactly what that is, but we know that something's going on. Has that ever happened to anybody? God's at work. He's moving. How do we get to the place where God makes all things new? We allow him to move. We don't squash that. We just say, God, I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but I'm going to allow you to move. How does he make all things new? He moves. But we get to choose whether or not we allow him to move. And here's my prayer for you, that you allow him to move. Here's the second thing. He speaks. God speaks to people. We are not crazy. I'm not a crazy person that puts tinfoil on my head and breaks out the ham radio so I can listen to somebody from outer space speak to me. I don't hear like audible voices walking around telling me what to do. But this I know, God does indeed speak. I've never heard an audible voice telling me do this, do that. I've never heard a voice in my head. But let me just say that there is an undeniable and inexplainable way that God speaks to us in the essence of who we are. And it's in our spirit. It's that same place that we can't explain, but we can sense him moving. But he also speaks to us in that area. The reason that I'm here today is not simply because we decided, let's have a Christmas Eve service. The reason that I'm here today was because years ago, I felt God tugging on my heart. I felt him tugging on my heart as a kid, not able to understand that even at 8 years old, just sensing that God was doing something inside of me, and I knew that there was a darkness, there was a stain there. There was something that I couldn't explain. I wanted to be good, but I couldn't be good. And teachers and parents would often tell me, trying, just can't do it, sorry. I knew that, but God was at work. I could sense it. And then he spoke to me. It wasn't audible words. It was like a revelatory flash of who he was and who I was. And there was a chasm between. But there was a bridge, and it was Jesus. And he speaks to us. Just as we get to decide whether or not we squash him moving in our life, we can also do this. La, 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 la. You ever had kids that would do that? You ever had a child do that to you, parents? I'll be honest, my kids haven't done that. Don't even think about it. But I very clearly remember my sister when she would get upset in a vehicle and nobody could reach back because an old Delta 88, y'all remember those old ones? Not easy to reach around and whack, though there might have been attempts made. But when something would happen that she didn't like, she would do this. She would stick her fingers in her ears and she would whistle. I can't whistle like her, but it was the most piercing, annoying, and loud. Everybody would go nutso because she didn't want to hear what was being said. We've probably all been at that place with authority in some form or fashion. But the reality is that we get to decide whether or not we listen to the voice of God. How does he make all things new? He shines light in the darkness. We have to allow him to move. We have to allow him to speak. Here's the third thing as we wrap up. He brings light into the darkness. His spirit was moving over the surface of the waters. God was moving. Then God said, and here's what he spoke, let there be light. Let there be light. Very simple. When God speaks to us, when we are in an area of darkness in our life, whether it's something that we've held on to that's been done to us or something that we've done ourselves or an area that we know that we're hiding from others, there's something there. When he says, God said, it's going to be, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be purity. Let there be forgiveness. It is the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. Why is that? Because we, as humans, recognize that there's a penalty to pay for certain infractions. From the very beginning, God showed us that he says, if you eat of the tree, now we're going back to the garden of Genesis again, if you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. And they did. There was a spiritual death. But to cover their sins, there was an animal that was killed, and that skin covered Adam and Eve. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Why did the creator of the universe have to come as a son and die? To pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. But it's not an exclusive thing. I've always been fascinated by electric doors like Walmart and Best Buy. I don't know why. Like, I'm walking up. How slow can I walk? And can I sneeze? Gonna stay? It always gets me. You get close enough, what happens? The door's open. You can move really slow, but sooner or later, it's going to open. That's what it's like walking into the light. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, young, old, male, female. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Jesus speaks to us and he says, I am the light of the world. If you want to walk in the light and not in the darkness, follow me. That's why we celebrate. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray. Father, I just pray that we can hear your voice today, calling us into the light. And that, Lord, if there's any confusion about the path that we're walking, that God, that you speak to us today, you say, I'm the light. If there's any areas of darkness in our heart and our soul, if there's any areas of sin, any areas of unforgiveness, Lord, I just pray right now, you begin to illuminate those things and show us that you are the way. You are the truth. You're the light. Lord, I just pray that we are a church that walks in your light. May we be that. Nobody's looking around. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know that today that there's areas of darkness in my life. I need to surrender that to the light of Jesus today. Let me just say that he hears you, he sees you, he already knows, and he loves you. And he's waiting for you on the other side of those doors. All you have to do is get close and say, here I am, Lord, and allow his light to shine in him. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know there's some areas of darkness in my life. I need the light of Christ in my life. If you're here, and that's you. Nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you. But if you're here, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to come to the place of light today. That's you. Just raise your hand right where you are. Thank you. 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 We're just going to pray all together right now. Let's just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I just want all of us, and if you had your hand raised, you pray that out loud. You may have to be louder than everybody else. I don't know. But let's all pray together and say, Dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you that you bring light. Shine in the dark areas of my heart. I turn from that darkness. I turn to you. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give those folks a hand? That's awesome. In just a moment, Pastor Josh will come. I will receive offering. He'll speak for just a moment, and then we'll be dismissed. But if you raised your hand, let me just encourage you two things. Number one, let us know what's going on. And that connection card in front of you, you can check whether you decided to surrender your life to Christ, whether you rededicated your life, you decided to be baptized. Let us know what's going on. If you have prayer requests, let us pray with you. And the second and last thing is this. We have a prayer team. Every Sunday, they're up here. Their heart's desire is to pray with people and let them see the light. Don't walk out of here without praying with someone if you need it. Love you guys. God bless, and may you remember the best is yet to come.